Well, welcome into our Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, that portion of the program. So we'll get to your calls as soon as we can. Hey, I'm going to start a new feature on Fridays that you can start sending me anytime you want. It's called We Get Emails. And basically, I'm going to read just a few emails every Friday that that you send us and answer them for you, or probably just pass them on to our listeners. But we'll do that. I've got a handful of them now that we're going to start. Haven't really had a chance to talk with you because we've had guests galore all week, but had a great time in Vancouver, British Columbia. Just a packed house. It was at the Hard Rock Casino Theater. And just great. The guests, of course, we had Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Richard Dolan, and Robert Felix. Richard Dolan, of course, the ufologist. Robert Felix talking about his beliefs that we're in an ice age. And Rosemary, of course, talked about the Ouija board, and she tried to trick me to play with the Ouija board on stage. I did not. And then we had a meet and greet afterwards, but it was just a great time. We had a full band there, did a few songs, and nobody left when I sang, so we had a good time. And we're going to get to your calls in a moment. I wanted to read these emails, but I got to tell you this story out of the San Diego area, Imperial Beach, California. Listen to this. This is absolutely incredible. Tim Vaughn had a lot on his mind last October when he sat down in a barber's chair at Vic's Barbershop in Imperial Beach, California. He was 33 years old. Vaughn was a U.S. Navy petty officer. He worked as a medic. He was up for promotion to chief, and that's pretty darn good, after 16 years in service. His wife was 10 weeks pregnant, and he was looking forward to being the shoulder that she could lean on for the baby when things happened. Vaughn didn't even know the barber, a fellow by the name of Daniel Roberto Flores, who was the only other person in the barbershop when he came in. Now, Flores insisted on trimming Vaughn's beard with a straight razor. Well, the Navy man cooperated. He tipped his head back in the chair. That's when Flores said, "I would cut your throat." And then he did, leaving two slashes across Vaughn's throat. Flores left the shop and rode away on his bicycle. Vaughn said in court, "I felt this incredible pain. There was blood all over the place. And where is anyone? I put pressure on it. It hurt so much, I felt this huge hole. Somebody help me," I kept thinking. "There's blood all over my shirt, all over the floor. Somebody please help." But my training kicked in. Though I lost a lot of blood, Vaughn knew to position himself so the blood would continue to go to his heart and his brain. I wouldn't know how to do that. And to make himself stay conscious. Police said he saved his own life. Vaughn came to court for Flores' sentencing on the attempted murder charge that the 22-year-old pled guilty to. Vaughn wore his neatly pressed Navy uniform, as did nearly a dozen of his colleagues who came to support him. "There would be more, but our ship was deployed," said an officer, and Vaughn described himself as an undeployable, and talked about how he fears for the loss of his career. After the attack, he didn't get the promotion to chief, and he has spent the past 7 months learning to turn his head and waiting for the feeling of his neck to return. After hundreds of hours of physical therapy, surgical repairs, psychiatric help, he remains undeployable. And you know, in the Navy, that's a career ender. He said, "My heart hurts most for my family because they're the true victims. I survived a gruesome, heinous attack. Instead of being a shoulder for my wife to lean on, I get to go home and have my family babysit me, wash me, feed me, deal with my pain, anxiety, my nightmares, my sleepless nights." And throughout the recounting, Flores appeared bored. No one knows exactly why he nearly killed Vaughn. Police said that he had no prior relationship and there wasn't even an argument. The judge noted that both psychiatrists who examined Flores found hints of mental illness, but nothing acute, nothing that would have triggered such an attack. He had no visual hallucinations, no self-defense issues. He just doesn't remember. Flores didn't even speak. His attorney explained that he was going through some difficult times with psychiatric issues, but he's extremely remorseful and sorry for what he did. Vaughn's mom, she wasn't buying it. She said, "My son looks in the mirror every single day and sees a scar from ear to ear. Why? We don't know." Although the probation report recommended a sentence of 8 years because Flores has no prior convictions, the judge went for the maximum of 10 years. He's going to get just 10 years for that, which brought sobs from Flores' wife, who was there with his mother and three siblings. "Mr. Vaughn trusted this man to do what a barber would do," said the judge. "Mr. Vaughn suffered tremendously and still suffers to this day." What a story. Absolutely incredible. Okay, and let me read a couple of these emails. "Hey, George, I see a lot on Ancient Aliens and appreciate the show. Many times I see the Hat Man when I close my eyes. All my life, actually. I'm 48 now. Not sure what it means. It's confusing to me. Can you shed any light on it?" Bonnie, I'm going to recommend that you contact Heidi Hollis. You can find her on our website. Search for her in the upper right-hand corner. Heidi Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S. She'll be able to help you. She's an expert on the Hat Man. Something's happening with you. So take advantage of that. Here's another one. "George, big fan of the program. Love it. I go to work every day, and people at work think I'm the devil. Am I? What's your opinion?" Well, I don't know. Please don't give my name. I'm not going to give your name. Don't worry about that. But I don't know if you're the devil. I have no idea. Why would they even think this? "You sound pretty nice in this email." But he goes on to say that he worked a lot with people who seemed to be demonized. And then our third email of the day, of course, comes from a fellow who signed up for ParanormalDate.com. He said, "This is the greatest idea to meet people who are into what I'm in for. Plus, I can't wait for the show every night. Thank you." Well, let me explain this. It's about a week old now, and it's going to open up in the United Kingdom. It's opened up now in Canada, the United States. It's going to open up in South Africa, Ireland, Australia, New Zealand. It's growing pretty darn fast. It's over 1.5 million hits on the website. We wanted people to get together who wanted to meet each other. Simple as that. Every event I've been to, all over the country, people have come up to me and said, "You got to do something. We got to meet people." One of the reasons I'm here, George, not just to see you, but I actually want to meet somebody. So that's what we did. It's a free sign up, just so you all know. But if you decide you want to stay there and meet people and converse, use my name, George, in the code for a discount on a very nominal membership. But it's free to sign up, ParanormalDate.com. That's why we did that, too. Okay, let's get to your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and we've got open lines for you for a couple hours. Let's go next. Let's go to Australia. I love this. Let's go to Suleiman on the wildcard line. Suleiman, welcome to the program. You're calling from a long way.
Yeah, I'm calling you from Northern Territory in Australia, where it is actually 4:48 p.m. Saturday.
You're where? You're time traveling on us.
Yeah, George, I started listening to you back in the United States in 2003. Ever since, I can't help not to listen to you. So I listen to you every night.
Well, thank you so much.
It's good for me because I listen to you on daylight here. So your show started at 2:30 p.m.
When did you go back to Australia?
I've been living here for the past 4 years now.
You like it?
Yeah, wonderful. It's peaceful, and it's great, and it's love to see. So
yeah,
that's a great country. I love it.
Good people.
I love it.
Good people. So what's up? Has you call us?
Well, George, I want to share something with you. I'm 48 years old, and something happened to me when I was about 6 to 7 years. And this is back in my home country, Guinea, West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But I never told anybody about this in my life because I thought people would think I'm not, you know, but because I listen to Coast to Coast and I know it's happened to me, but I don't know. And I want to tell you if you really have an explanation of what happened to me then.
Okay, what happened?
So, what happened to me, I was walking from my cousin's home. This is probably around 3 to 4 p.m. And I'm walking, I could be 6, 7 years old, and I meet this young boy my age. And we started, I said, who are you? Because I don't know you. You know, back then in the 70s, kids in the same area, you know each other.
Yeah.
But I never knew this boy, but he was my age, and I didn't know him. And then he said to me, well, I know you. I said, no. I said, where do you live? He pointed to my house. He said, I live there, we live together. He said, you guys bothered us. You guys threw your stuff at us here every day, and then you really bothered us. So I said, where do you live? Show me again. So as he pointed to my house, I found myself like elsewhere. It changed, the whole area changes, and we walk there, and I can see my house, I can see the house, I can see the people. It's like he took me to another world. So I could see them. I could see people walking around just like we do here on Earth. So it was the same thing that I was looking at. But he said to me, he said, I want you guys to stop throwing things at us. So I said, well, but this is where we throw, you know, our garbage and everything. Well, when you do that, you throw those things at us. And then I don't know what happened, and all of a sudden I found myself walking again. So I was scared. I didn't tell nothing to anybody. So I was cautious from that time. And when I see them, when I think I can see them in my mind, I said, well, you got to be careful when you throw things like here. But I won't tell people why. And then I've never, even today, when I go back home there, and once I get to my house, I know we're not alone. So I really don't know if anybody has experienced anything like that before. And
it sounds like, were these ghosts that you were seeing, Suleiman?
No, this guy was normal boy like myself.
Huh.
And people that I was seeing was normal people, George. They were like normal people like us. I could see them driving around, doing this thing. They're just like, it's just like they're into another dimension. We don't see them, but we walk through them. Like, we walk through them.
You're right. In the other dimension is what I picked up from you. That's very possible. That's extremely possible. With scientists now saying that we could have multi-universes, I think that also explains what deja vu might be all about. I think we're crossing paths with these other universes that we're in, and that may be happening with you right out there. Very, very possible. Let's go next to Greg in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Greg. You're up on the air with us.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine, Greg. How about you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I spent the past week on your new website, paranormaldate.com, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Are you having some fun?
I certainly am. It's quite fascinating. I've been favorited. I've been winked at, but haven't gotten many girls to actually talk to me. It's like I'm a UHO or something.
Give them time.
Oh, I am. But it's a fantastic concept, and I have noticed that all of them are interested in the paranormal. That's the key factor there.
Well, you're lucky because what the administrator put some people in there, they wanted to sign up, who haven't listened to my show at all, but he said, George, you got to start with some people. You can't just open up a website and have nobody there. And I said, wait a minute, you don't understand this program. People who are interested are going to flock to that, and that's what's beginning to happen. But I'm glad you've been having some success with that.
Yes, it's fantastic. And it's going to be a lot more fun the longer I'm on it, I have a feeling.
And are you looking for a relationship?
Oh, definitely. I'm looking for a real relationship. I mean, I've had a fairly limited romantic history just because I've always been a one-woman man, and I've never cheated on a woman in my life. So I'm definitely serious.
If you meet somebody online and you end up getting married, let us know. We might want to do the wedding in the studio. Would you do that?
Oh, in a heartbeat, George. What an offer.
Guess who would be the minister?
Oh, boy, that would be the wedding.
Not me. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Oh, no, not you. Bill. Oh, my goodness.
He's an ordained minister, and we'll get him in here if that happens. So keep in touch with us.
I certainly will. Thank you so much, George. Keep up the great work.
That's good. Well, that's good. That's a possible success story. Let's go to our Skype line, Glenn in Ogden, Utah. Hey, Glenn, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was just calling in regards to what you were talking about earlier with your guest.
About superstitions?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I called a couple weeks ago, actually, and but anyway, just to let you know, I was just when I was in the Philippines, my soon-to-be brother-in-law was getting married, and he didn't tell me. I couldn't figure out why he wasn't, driving the tricycle, motorcycle with a, sidecar and that. And I found out that they have a superstition that, before like a wedding or a big event or something that, he got his cousin to drive us around.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't tell me, and I couldn't figure out, what was, it just didn't make sense until he finally told me. And then I couldn't understand also why his dad was so anxious and to get him to stay home and that.
What was the myth? There's got to be a myth here.
I'm not sure exactly, but he was explaining it some type of superstition they have that before a wedding or I guess this happened to his uncle or some relative and that, but
what's the myth?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Okay. Well, I guess we can't help you on that one. But, there are some myths at weddings. I mean, myth number one, the bride's not supposed to see the groom. It's not supposed to happen until they walk down the altar. Simple as that. So I don't know what your custom was or what happened there. Hey, by the way, don't forget to like us on Facebook, please. Follow us on Twitter. And download our free apps, if you would, in your particular store, whether it's the iPhone store or your Google Play store. Grab the apps for coasttocoastam.com, and you will thoroughly enjoy everything. Just get to know it, play with it. And we're going to come back in a moment because there are more open lines just ahead on Coast to Coast AM. At all. Hey, it's time for our shout out to those of you who listen to Coast on our 600 radio stations across North America. That is the second largest affiliate list in the world. And we are going to become number one. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you do, and thanks for joining up, you new folks. Sirius XM Talk Channel 102. Love you folks. And then the various chat rooms that are out there. Into Infinity, good people, Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC. Those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, the Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Hey, Greg, I'm coming back in a few weeks, so get the grill going. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Soria, and as you know, we take your text questions, too. So we take your phone calls, we take your emails, we take your fast blasts on the website, we take your special Skype calls, and we take your text messages. And Tom, you've got one.
We sure do. Kirsten in San Antonio, Texas. She texts and she says, a while back you had a demonologist on, and it got me thinking about my fear of evil entering my life. I think I'm a good person, and I'm wondering if you know how I can safeguard from evil coming to me.
Well, that is Far be it for me to say I'm not a demonologist, but what I've heard, especially with the guests on this program, is don't let your guard down. One, try not to be weak. Try not to be intoxicated. Try to have control of who you are, because they tend to get you when you're at your weak moment. So you got to be very careful about that. Try to stay out of stress. If you're stressed out a lot, they can get you that way too. And just, you know, be positive. Surround yourself mentally with energy.
A lot to do with your mind, huh?
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah.
It absolutely. Have you ever worried about being possessed, Tom?
No, I was just going to say to you that. What a terrible thing
Nor
to
have
worry
I.
about.
Never
being
Never thought about it at all, about being possessed.
Do you have any phobias?
Well, I mean, I don't like spiders. I mean, I don't go running out of the room screaming like a crazy person, but I don't like them. I guess you could call that a phobia.
What about Pennywise?
Oh, clowns? Well, I guess that is a phobia.
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't like clowns. I'm not afraid of them. I just don't like them. They're just evil.
Why?
When you dressed up as a clown during that Christmas party,
I never
it was the worst I've ever seen. You looked like that thing with the spiked teeth you wore. It was horrible. Just horrible. The big old clown outfit.
You're making me laugh. I got to go.
Let's go to Jerry in Denver, Colorado. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, George.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
Yeah, I am bummed out.
What's the matter?
I've been waiting here on the phone for about an hour just to talk. I wanted to talk to your guest.
Is that why you're bummed out?
Yeah, that Mitch guy. Yeah, he seems...
Well, he'll be back. He'll be back again.
Well, listen, when you guys were talking about the birds flying into the house...
Yes.
That's what made me call.
See, that was my mother and my grandmother's superstition. I mean, my mother, too. Yeah.
My mother, too.
They freaked out over that.
Well, what happened was, here's my story. This is a trip.
All right.
Back in 1988, me and a buddy just rented a house. And there is these, like, 12 trees. There were six on one side, six on the other side, all around the house. And there were a lot of birds around there. And we had this wood-burning stove inside there, real cool. It was a real nice one. And all of a sudden, I kept on hearing these feathers going through the pipes. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And my roommate wasn't home. I was home by myself.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the phone rings. Remember those old trim lines with the light and all that?
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I picked up the phone.
A real phone.
And my mom called, God rest her soul. She was really, really superstitious. So anyway, right when I answered the phone, I said, hold on, Mom. And I opened up the where you put the wood in, because we never used that stove. We never used it.
Mm-hmm.
I opened it up, and all of a sudden a bird flew out.
Oh, I'd freak.
And all of a sudden my mom goes, what's going on? I said, oh, Mom, I'm trying to get this dang bird out of here. She goes, oh, no, Santo Niño. Well, that means, oh, my God.
See, same thing.
So she goes, I go, what do you mean, Mom? What are we talking about? She goes, oh, Hito, it's bad luck. It's bad luck that you have birds flying around. I said, oh, come on. So I ended up catching that bird in one hand, and I threw that bird outside and let it fly away.
Yeah.
But check this out.
Oh, no.
7 days to the day, we had a big storm come in. And there was like four tornadoes that landed that day. And one of them happened to go by our house. And we saw, oh, it was so scary, a big platform coming towards the house. And a big beam went through the window. And after everything was said and done, I looked out there and I saw all this debris in front of the house. And I go, what the heck? And I went outside. I looked around, and nobody else's house wasn't messed up. It was our house was the only house with all the debris.
Oh, man.
But one thing I wanted to ask you, too, another thing was about, you guys were talking about Gene Dixon.
Yeah.
If your assistant can help me out on this, but I remember I got onto the internet about 10 years ago, and I was looking up Nostradamus
mm-hmm.
quatrains, and all of a sudden I happened to run into a Jean Dixon. She had a dream. She had a dream back, I think it was 1966, and she recorded her dream, and she told everybody about her dream, that she had a dream about the Antichrist, was born that day.
Yeah, that's right. She was good.
Yes.
She also.
And when I read that, I kind of freaked me out, and I said, 1966? I go, wow, that was kind of the year, I think, I was right around Obama. Kind of unusual.
I don't think he's the Antichrist, Jerry, but man. Things that have been happening lately in Washington will make your hair spin and your neck spin and your hair curl. That's for sure. Hey, let's go to some more calls. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Greg's with us east of the Rockies. Greg, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good, Greg. How about you?
Good. Yeah, I just recently got a job out in West Des Moines working security.
All right. Congratulations. Did you have to move there or were you already out there?
No, I actually live downtown.
Okay.
14-story building. But, you know, I've worked there for a month, and I've already noticed some things on the camera that were odd. And at first, I thought it was just a bug. And then I'd rewind the tape and look at it, and it would change shape, and the shades of color change.
Really?
And I realize now that the chances of it being a bug are not very good. So I saw it again 2 nights ago, and the guy was doing patrol, and we have radios. And I called him up there, and I videotaped all of this.
Yeah, okay.
I have all of this on video.
I'd love to see this if you can ever get us a piece of it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you in email.
Okay.
But I videotaped the whole thing, and this thing's there, and it leaves, as he's going up the stair, this black form leaves the computer screen. And when he comes up, I called him, told him to go up there and look at it to see if he could see a bug. And this blob comes back onto the screen when he gets up towards the camera, and it follows him up the stair. And you can see it. He stops and looks up, and he told me he saw like a white flashing light with his own eyes. But when he walked away, it just kind of went away from him and vanished. And I've got this all on video. I mean, there's proof.
Do we know if anybody died in that area?
See, that's the thing. The building's only 5 years old, and it's on the outskirts of West Des Moines.
Some construction worker, maybe? Some kind of mishap?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, because this thing likes to show up in the ninth floor where no one is because there's machinery is up there.
That's weird. Yeah, definitely send me a piece of that video.
Oh, I will. And another weird thing is it only shows up when workers are gone, when people have left after 6 or on the weekends.
It knows. It knows when to pop up.
Yeah, and I went up to go look at it. I told him, can you stay here? I'm going to go up. And he said, when I got off the elevator, it just disappeared.
Wow. Is it scary to watch?
You know, I've gotten used to it. And at first, I wasn't scared because I thought it was a bug. I try to rationalize it and, you know, make it as real as I can. But, you know, when you see it doing things that are intelligent, you realize it's more than likely it's not a bug.
That's right. All right, definitely. George at coasttocoastam.com. Jeff, if you want to get that to us. Let's go to Rob in Vancouver, British Columbia, where I have just returned from. Hello, Rob. Welcome.
George, thanks for taking my call. I'm so glad I got on.
You're welcome.
I wanted to let all the listeners know how great your show was here. I don't know if you remember me. I was probably the second or third last person to say hello to you. I was a big guy at the end of the show.
Did you have a camera around your neck?
Nope.
That wasn't
white shirt, t-shirt, black shirt above it, and big guy. So
there were a couple big guys there, no doubt.
I thought you were
my security guy for a moment.
I wanted to let people know, I didn't know what to expect coming to the show. I've been to quite a few of these shows where, people are interviewed and so on. And I wanted to let, the listeners know just how much I enjoyed the show. I mean, you are a phenomenal storyteller.
Well, thank you.
I want to let you know that, and really enjoyed that. And, the guests you had were great. And it was phenomenal that people could get up, do the Q&A, and there was lots of time. I mean, I think the show was maybe 4 hours, and it went by like...
No, it went by like a rocket ship, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's so fast. And you had the videos that you had, you know, on big screens that kind of gave background.
Yeah, Tom produced that show. He did a great job.
Incredible. And, you know, I want listeners to know how you stayed around to say hello to everybody, right? I mean, you stayed there a long time and made sure everyone who wanted to say hi to you.
I have a very personal thing with myself, Rob, that I do not leave that venue until everybody has had a chance in line to either say hello, get their picture, a quick hug, whatever we do. I am not leaving until the last person has gone through the line.
And the other huge thing, at least in Canada here, I can't tell you how much I appreciated you acknowledging our military. It's not really done so much here in Canada. And you probably noticed how some of the people were kind of reluctant
to come up,
to come to the stage. And it's just so important to do that. And I love, you know, when listening to you on the radio and acknowledging the military, and it's so nice. I can't appreciate, tell you how much I appreciate it.
I had a good time. I hope we get out there again next year. I'm going to be in Toronto on August 22nd, so I don't know if you can make it over that far. But
I, you know what? I am going out to visit my cousin, my sister, and her nephew, so I probably will.
Rob, I didn't hear you say anything about my singing.
Well, that's what I'm coming to now. And maybe you'll remember me now because I said I'm going to call. And I think, is the word crooner proper?
That's proper.
The Vegas singer. I mean, I don't know if the listeners know how phenomenal of a singer you are. And I know you're a humble person.
Yes, I am, but my headsets were out. Could you repeat that?
Oh, I said how phenomenal of a singer you are.
Oh, okay, good. I just heard that. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I know you're humble and you wouldn't, you might not promote yourself, but what I want to suggest is you got to have a song or record something for you, a bumper, you know, a bumper during the bumper period.
You think so?
I'd love to hear you. Or more importantly, what I think is you got to have a CD, you know, and I'm gonna send an email with the subject line. I will commit. I'll commit to a CD. And you know, if you could get a whole bunch of listeners to email you that commitment, maybe Tom can have some kind of counter or something, and maybe somehow we can get you to record or CD or something.
Might do that and find a nice charity that I've got one that I like, but there's some others. A friend of ours wants to build a cat shelter for homeless cats. Maybe we'll help her out.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, you're great. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed your singing, and I hope the listeners get to hear you eventually.
Me too. Hey, thanks for the call, Rob.
No problem. Have a great night.
You too. Well, that was nice. That was very nice of him to do that. I had a great time in Vancouver. I used to sing old songs. You know, I love the hip stuff. I think Taylor Swift is phenomenal. Pharrell Williams is great. These artists are just superb. But I'm got those old time songs. My mother used to play those records all the time when I was a little kid. That's all I heard. And as I grew up, that's what I listened to. Of course, I was into the Beatle era and stuff like that. So when I think I did five songs at this event, full band, and obviously I picked the ones that I thought I liked. And then I had the band decide if they were any good or not. And if they didn't like them, I wasn't going to sing them. But that's what we did. Let's go to Jeff in Culver City, California. Jeffrey, welcome.
Hey, George, how you doing,
I'm
man?
Good.
Once again. Yeah, I do believe that there are some people in our government, George, that believe in the occult and maybe even practicing the craft. For example, the 2008 election of President Obama at first was a shock to everyone because, you know, they thought Hillary, well, I thought Hillary, too, would win.
Yeah, yet everybody
Obama,
did.
Yet Obama won, and I believe that some type of agreement was made so that Hillary would become president years later, which would coincide exactly with her running for president now and perhaps becoming president in 2016. You know, this would make the occultist Nostradamus prediction of America having its first female president come true. And according to your previous guest, Mr. Mario Redding, Nostradamus predicted dire events in Europe, you know, once, you know, that became, you know, we had a female president.
Oh, yeah.
So, George, so what do you think about this? Do you think that the occultist practices are going on now in the White House or with our government leaders?
I'm not sure if they're happening in the White House. I think some people dabble with the dark side, and we can call that the occult, and it's very conceivable that it has helped them. Good and evil balance each other out. I do believe if you pray to that higher power, to that God of yours, of mine, some great things are going to happen. But I also think that if you're one of those who dabbles in the dark side and you believe in Satan, you're going to get some powers. You're going to have some things happen for you. You're going to end up paying the maker and paying the devil. He's going to get your soul eventually. Remember the Dr. Faustus story. But, yeah, I do. I think there's some politicians there that are doing some evil things and are getting rewarded for it. That's happening leaps and bounds. Look, we're almost at the top of the hour. Let me do a few little promotion announcements. Connie Willis will be on Saturday. I will be on Sunday because I flipped. You know, I normally do the first Sunday of every month with emerging artists as well, but I was in Vancouver on the way back. So I'm on Sunday night. We're going to have our emerging artists that night. One of our special guests Sunday will be Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is my guest in Vancouver, and she'll be talking about the supernatural and some of her new work, and she wants to talk about the Ouija board. Anyways, we'll come back in a moment. More open lines. Those of you on hold, just hang. Those of you calling, keep it up. We'll be back.